Then I saw heaven opened, and a white horse was standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dipped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest of pure white linen, followed him on white horses. From his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hey there, Patriots. I hope you guys are having a great day. I hope you're ready for Fun with Melly. Okay, that's our question. Is Trump Moses? Is he Moses? I'm telling you, we are being led out of the evil place of the Egyptian rulership over us into the promised land. There's no doubt about it. That's what's happening. So if you haven't seen the movie, the Cecil B. DeMille's The Ten Commandments, it might be a good idea to look at it, because I'm telling you, the whole world has been dealing with plagues for several years. And you know, I'm going to show you some things that you might never have seen before. You've probably, you know, you heard the story, but you might not have looked at it in the light of what we are experiencing right now. What we are seeing in this day is clearly the, just like what our Israelite ancestors experienced when they were being set free from their Egyptian oppressors. And that is what we are seeing. We've also found out in the past, you know, that they are of this Set cult, the same cult that the Egyptians were part of back in the day. I'm going to show you some of that too. You're going to be like, oh my gosh, this is the same thing. And so this is what I do. I look at the current events in the light of God's word. We are being set free, just like our Israelite ancestors, and we're going to cross over the Red Sea and right through it and enter into the promised land, and they will be covered over. All right, so let's jump in right here. I'm going to show you, first of all, what happened in the book of Exodus. Remember how Moses went and he saw the burning bush? The Lord told him, you know, I want you to go down and speak to Pharaoh. He's like, who am I to speak to Pharaoh? Now think of President Trump as our Moses and Pharaoh as the New World Order cabal, the ones who have been running everything. They look like they're the ones in power, and they get to do whatever they want to do, right? And so here it says, the Lord told Moses, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. He has seen our oppression. He has seen all that they've been doing to us. He has seen what they've been doing to the people of Iran. He's seen what they've been doing to the people of Venezuela. I mean, you name it. There's not a place that has been left unscathed by these people. He says, I've heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I'm aware of their suffering. We've prayed for the Lord to deliver us. And I think that we're going to see that we are very similar to the Israelites, because they were so, desperate to be set free, but then when it came down to it, they were not really ready for what it was going to take to be set free. There's a beautiful verse in the passage in the New Testament that says, "It's through much tribulation that we inherit the kingdom. It's not something that can be won easily." And the reality is, if people, you know, get things like this easily, they probably don't appreciate it, don't realize what they've earned and what they've received. So, but the Lord says he's seen their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them out of the power of the Egyptians and lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. This is what we are experiencing. We are going to be set free from these people. This is where we have to. We're at the point where we have to be set free. So if you really like this type of content, definitely hit the like button. Make sure to share this information, because Everyone needs to have some good news. This is the good news of the kingdom. His kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you can definitely check into my website right here, melissaredpill.com. And I think you'll really, really like seeing all the videos that are over there. And make sure you follow the social media that's there. There's some fake Mellies out there. I don't DM, and you'll make sure that you'll follow the real Melly right there. And I'm actually going to show you super quick this book right here. I posted a couple years ago now, and this one is called End Times. This is Biblical. And I go into several Bible stories, I think 17. Yeah, 17 Bible stories. And so one of them is this story of the Lord setting his people free from the Egyptian oppressor. So definitely get that and read that. And you can also get the audiobook on melissaredpill.com. See what else the Lord said. He says, I will put them into their own fertile and spacious land. This is what we're seeing, not just for this small group, but for the entire world. That's what I go into in the book, The Golden Age. I'll talk to you about that in just a second. It's a land flowing with milk and honey, the land where the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites now live. These people were Canaanite cannibals. He's like, they're going to be gone and you will get to inherit this beautiful land. He says, look, the cry of the people of Israel has reached me and I have seen how harshly the Egyptians abused them. Now go, for I'm sending you to Pharaoh and you must lead my people of Israel out of Egypt. But Moses protested, who am I to appear before Pharaoh? Who am I to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? It's going to be a huge undertaking. It's going to be, and then I was actually having a conversation with some dear friends who are kind of feeling that same way. They're like, okay, this is too much. This is too much. This is too hard to go through all this, this suffering, this labor pains are like, this is hard. And so I said, this is what it's going to take to set your country free. This is a friend of mine who's from Iran, or whatever country you're from, to set America free. I know it's taking a long time. I know it's frustrating. I know that. But it's what it takes to get us free from these people, right? And so, who is able to do such a thing as this? And I got to tell you, his name is Trump. Trump is not weak-kneed and lily-livered. He is very confident that he can get this done. And I believe it. I believe he can. I have no doubt at all that he can get this done. And so I'm counting on him, and I know you are too. We're counting on him to get this job done. And he does not seem scared. He does not seem nervous. He does not seem like he's worried at all. He feels like he knows exactly the path to take, just like Moses, to get us to the promised land. So he, but at this point, Moses was a little bit tenuous about it, but eventually he realized that the Lord was going to guide him on every step of the way. So here, I really do think that President Trump is our Moses to lead us to the promised land. I really do believe that that's what we are seeing. Now, here it says in this next chapter, this is chapter 4, it says, the Lord put this staff in his hand. He says, what's in your hand? He says, a shepherd's staff. So he had been a shepherd for all this time. The backstory is that Moses grew up in the palace, and then he escaped. He left because he ended up murdering an Egyptian who was mistreating one of the Israelites, and because his heart was with the Israelite people. That's who he was. He was born, remember the story about Moses in the basket, and so now he flees so he can flee prosecution. And he's been all this time living in this land as a shepherd. But in his heart, he is with the people of Egypt who are living in oppression in Egypt. And also he is very gifted because he's grown up in the palace. He knows the inner workings of the palace. And so, but he has a shepherd's staff in his hand. He says, the Lord says, throw it down to the ground. So Moses threw down the staff and it turned into a snake. Moses jumped back. The Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. What is all of this about the snake symbolism all the time? Remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the very strange passage where Moses later on made a bronze serpent and put it on a pole. Anyone who was bitten by the snake, the poisonous snakes, would be able to look at the serpent and be healed. Remember that? And it's the symbolism that we have for our medical establishment, right? And also, if you remember in John chapter 3, verses 14, 15, and 16, of course, 16 is the one that talks about, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. The verses 14 and 15, it says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then it goes into the John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now, he's saying that he took the curse. Of course, Satan is represented by a snake, this snake that slithers along the ground. So evil, it's not even allowed to stand. It's just continue on its belly, it would go because of the evil that it would do in all of the world. And so the serpent brought the curse upon humanity by its deceptiveness. Now, Jesus said, I will take that curse and I will crush the serpent's head. And so whenever you see this serpent symbolism, you know that he's saying, I'm going to crush this evil. Eventually, it will be crushed and removed from the earth. This is where we are on the timeline of history. And so when Moses had the staff and it would turn into a snake, that is a lot of this symbolism that they use the snake as their symbol of power, of demonic power. But the Lord is using it as that he will just crush their power. Okay. So always remember that when you see that symbolism. So he was going to take this staff and he was going to use it to crush the satanic evil that was going on in Egypt. Okay, I'm going to show you some of these things. And this is where we get into all the plagues. And I think that we've all been experiencing plagues. You could put in the comment section and the chat section, what do you think are these plagues that we have been enduring? I'm telling you, we've had the COVID, we've had the fake news, we've had the wars, we've had the vaccine injuries, we've had on and on it goes, all these things that we've endured that are just so much. And you know, you think you solve one riddle, one problem, and it goes, you know, we have more and more. It's just back to back to back, right? All right. So, yeah, there's our president. This was a few Halloweens ago, and President Trump saw this little girl with the cute staff. And so, of course, he's got to grab it and pretend like Moses. You know, he's got this serpent staff. Very, very interesting symbolism. So I think he thinks he's Moses too. All right. So what happened was when Moses came to Egypt and he went to see Pharaoh and said to let the people go so that they could worship the Lord, just like we want to be let go, so that we're no longer under their brutal regimes, and so that we can worship the Lord and just live in peace, they're like, no, we're going to make your work 10 times harder. And that's exactly what happened right here in Exodus chapter 5. If you look down at starting with verse 6, it says, that same day Pharaoh sent this order to the Egyptian slave drivers and the Israelite foremen, do not supply any more straw for making bricks. Make the people get it themselves, but still require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. That's why they are crying out, let us go and offer sacrifices to our God. Yeah, you guys don't know anything about lazy. You don't lift a finger to do anything. Remember? President Trump has talked about them, that they don't do anything. We're over here working our fingers to the bone, doing countless things and working and trying to take care of our household. And they want us so busy that we can't rise up against them because we're so busy and exhausted. And so, yeah, they're saying that we're lazy. No, we're not the lazy ones. We're the ones who are keeping this world rolling. He says, load them down with more work, make them sweat. That will teach them to listen to lies, like Moses saying that he would deliver them from their hand in Egypt. So the slave drivers and the foreman went out and told the people, "This is what Pharaoh says. I will not provide any more straw for you. Go and get it yourselves. Find it wherever you can, but you must produce just as many bricks as before." So the people scattered throughout the land of Egypt in search of straw, of stubble to make, to use as straw. This is exactly what we've experienced. You know, that we woke up and we said, we are not going to be under your boot anymore. And they've made what was a difficult thing even more difficult. And that's exactly what they've been wanting to do. They say, oh, you've got all the energy to fight back. We're going to make it 10 times harder for you to fight back. We're going to make it where it destroys your livelihood. It'll destroy your families. It'll destroy your health. That's what they've done. They've made it 10 times harder. Now, the people are looking for all this straw. It's interesting that they are scattered throughout the land of Egypt. I think that's a hint for us that we have been scattered. All of God's people are scattered throughout the world to fight this battle. It's interesting how you see these little tidbits here and there. So we are scattered, the scattered tribes, if you remember, the remnant are the ones that rise up. The remnant is those who've been scattered all over the world. That's us. So if you look here also, President Trump, this wall reminds us of that they're trying to build this wall. They're trying to get some bricks, make some, you know, come up with something, some raw materials to make the bricks and to build up this wall. Now, if you've ever heard the song by Pink Floyd, "Another Brick in the Wall," remember that song? Do you know what that's from? That is from our ancestors, the Israelites, under the Egyptian taskmasters. I hate to tell you this, but what that means is, just like in the song, they're making us another brick in the wall. They are just to this wall that's built up so that we can't get out of this prison, out of this matrix, and that each person is a wall, is part of the wall to keep us from getting free. Okay, but what they did, if people could not, they threatened, and this did happen, that if they did not make their quota of bricks for each day, then they would use their children as bricks. This is so pure evil. And this is the Set cult. It's a demonic cult, and they hate humanity. They hate children. And they especially hated the Israelites, because the Israelites, even though they were attacked and they were thrust down, they were continually getting stronger and stronger and stronger. That's so awful, but that's exactly what they would do. And that's the Pink Floyd knew that. And I love it when these artists expose the truth. And the crazy thing is, we've sung these songs and we didn't necessarily realize until now what we were singing and what they were trying to tell us, like with Michael Jackson songs, etc. So yeah, that's what's happening with the bricks, so that they were hurrying to find whatever they could so that they could meet their quota under their harsh taskmasters, because they'd made it even harder. All right. So then Moses still says, I'm going to go back to Pharaoh and say, we're going to be free. And this is exactly what President Trump has been doing. And I would love to say that it was after the first time that Pharaoh acquiesced and let the people go, but that's not what happened then. And that's not what's happening now. You see here in chapter 6, the Lord told Moses, "Now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. When he feels the force of my strong hand, he will let the people go. In fact, he will force them to leave his land." At the end, he finally said, "Here, take the gold, take the silver, take the earrings, take everything, take it off of us, away from us, and just go." And that we're not at that point yet. They were not at that point at the beginning, but it did finally get to that point. Talking to my dear friend, and she's like, "But that was 2,000 years ago." Well, it was actually more than that. But either way, it's the thing is, it's God's word. He's promised this in his word, and nothing can stop what is coming, because the Lord is in control. And he promised that he would not just set them free back in the day, but this is something we celebrate every year with Passover, that one day this will be fulfilled for the entire world. Yay. All right. So this is where we are. All right, so he told Moses, but Pharaoh's going to see this. Think of whenever you see the word Pharaoh, Think of the New World Order. Think of the cabal. They will see the Lord's strong hand. What's happening in Iran right now is the Lord's strong hand. And he's going to set not only the Iranian people free, but the entire world free. And their power is melting away. So thank you. All right. So let's see if there's what it says more about here. Yeah. As we move forward. Yeah. I don't need to read all that. I could be here all night telling you all these stories. But here is where Aaron's staff became a serpent. So Aaron is holding the staff. He is Moses's brother. And so he's helping him to complete this amazing task. And so they went and he threw it down and it became a serpent. They threw it down in front of Pharaoh and his officials. Then Pharaoh called in his wise men and his sorcerers, and these Egyptian magicians did the very same thing. Isn't that wild? Isn't that wild? This is one of their evil tricks. And I'll tell you, the evil things that they do look real. When they can come out on CNN and Fox News telling, you know, what's going on, and people, you know, pretty much believe whatever they're told. And it's a pretty good trick. And their biggest trick is all this deception. And so I really encourage everyone, I'm so glad you're here. I'm so glad you followed me on melissaredpill.com. I'm so glad you followed me on all my social media, because I'm, you know, really, I try to listen just to what President Trump has to say. And, you know, some of his top cabinet people, and piece this together, because there's so much fake news out there. President Trump was calling out Fox News. Don't think that Fox News is safe. It's fake news too. So, the magicians threw down their staffs, which became serpents, but Aaron's staff swallowed up theirs. This is what we're doing. We are swallowing up their lies. We let the truth speak so loudly and so clearly that it overcomes the lies. That's what we do. That's the whole point of what we're doing, is getting the truth out every which way we can. So Pharaoh's heart remained hard. He still refused to listen, just as the Lord had predicted he would do. But at the end, he would say, go. He would just say, take everything and go. Now, the first one was the plague of blood. And so you know that the waters were turned to blood. I'm not going to go into each one of the plagues, but just so you remember that every day there was something else that was just like shocking to shake them and to get them to release God's people. And so this is what we're up against too. Every day there's something else shocking. This is shocking to us, but more importantly, it's shocking to the Pharaoh New World Order to get them to release us and for them to finally acquiesce, finally bend the knee and to stop holding us as slaves, and for us to get out of here, not physically, but to be released from their grasp and have their boot up off our throats. All right. So you know about the plague of blood. He touched the water and it became blood. So that's going to have a big effect on them. So here's another one. Here's the plague of frogs. I think that's us, the frogs. We are the frogs. We're everywhere. Look at this one. The Lord said to Moses, go back to Pharaoh, announce, this is what the Lord says. Let my people go so they can worship me. If you refuse to let them go, I will send a plague of frogs across your entire land. The Nile River will swarm with frogs. They'll come out of the river and into your palace, even into your bedroom and onto your bed. They'll enter the houses of your officials and your peoples, even jump into your ovens and your kneading bowls. That's exactly it. And that's what we've done. We are the frogs. I think that we have jumped in and we've been a cantankerous bunch. We have been aggravating them. We've been in their kneading bowls. We've been everywhere. They can't say boo without us going, you know, they'll try to put out the fake news and we gobble it up with the truth. So it's pretty exciting. So that's exactly what happened. And so Pharaoh was all upset about it, that all these frogs were everywhere. He says, plead with the Lord to take the frogs away. I will let your people go so they can offer your sacrifices to the Lord. He would always say, oh, well, I'll let them go. The point is, the Lord, Moses knew better, that he was just full of it. He was just saying he would, but he wouldn't do it. And then the same thing with President Trump. He knows that these people are liars. They will not keep their word once the heat is off. And that's why he's got to keep the heat on. And we have to trust that this is, you know, that he's a genius and he's also the Lord is leading him on what to do to get us out of here, out of their grasp. All right. So Moses said, you set the time. Tell me when you want me to pray for you, your officials, and your people, and then you and your houses will be rid of the frogs. And so he says, they will only remain in the Nile River. So he says, do it tomorrow. He's always saying, tomorrow. Don't want to do it today. I don't want to have to bend the knee today. It's always tomorrow. And Moses said, all right, it will be as you have said. Then you will know that there's no one like the Lord our God. The frogs will leave you and your houses, your officials and your people. They will only remain in the Nile River. All right, so there's what, but when Pharaoh saw the relief that had come, he just became more stubborn. He just, that's, the heat was off. And so he went back to his ways. He said, I'm not going to let the people go. And so here is the same thing with President Trump. With all this that's going on in Iran right now, as long as he keeps the heat on, they start to buckle. But when the heat is off, then they go back to their old ways. All right, let's see what happens next. Okay, so this is some other plagues. Here's one, a plague against the livestock. There was gnats and there was flies. I'm going to show you a list of all the different plagues. But this is a plague against the livestock. And so he says, tell them what the Lord, the God of the Hebrews, said, let my people go so they can worship me. Literally every day is like another time. He's like, they want to worship the Lord. It's not just that they want to have a worship service. They want to be free. They want to be able to live their lives in a way that honors the Lord and not eat Lord knows what and be forced to listen to the satanic lies and having their children taught satanic lies like a brick in the wall and all these things. We want to be free of their satanic rituals that they perform on us on the daily, the spraying, just on and on it goes. All these plagues. If you continue to hold them and refuse to let them go, the hand of the Lord will strike all your livestock, your horses, your donkeys, your camels, cattle, sheep, and goats with a deadly plague. And so he didn't acquiesce. So the Lord did just as he said. The next morning, all the livestock of the Egyptians died, but the Israelites did not lose a single animal. Pharaoh sent his officials to investigate, and they discovered the Israelites had not lost a single animal, but even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn. Isn't that outrageous? This is exactly who we're up against. The same satanic cabal, just like Pharaoh. And they believe, and with such pride, that they are in control and that they refuse to repent. That's what happens. That's what's happened. These people are so prideful. And it's been a tough, tough slog to get to this point. But even so, Pharaoh's heart remained stubborn. He still refused to let the people go. So the Lord said to Moses, take handfuls of soot from a black kiln and have Moses toss it into the air while Pharaoh watches. The ashes will spread like fine dust over the whole land, causing festering boils to break out on the people and the animals throughout the land. So they did. They took the soot from the brick kiln and went and stood before Pharaoh. As Pharaoh watched, Moses threw the soot in the air and boils broke out on the people and the animals alike. Even the magicians were unable to stand before Moses because the boils had broken out on them and all the magicians. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart again, just as the Lord predicted to Moses, and Pharaoh refused to listen. Now, at this point, there have been all these plagues that have been, like gnats and flies and boils, and the animals have died. But then there comes a different type of plague. This time there was a plague of hail. And it just destroyed everything. Everything that they had built up got destroyed. All their financial system, all their, everything that they had used the Egyptian, the slaves for, got destroyed. The hail was destroying the houses, the livestock. I mean, everything, of course, the livestock were already killed at this point, but I mean, everything was getting destroyed. And it's the same thing that's happening to the New World Order. Everything that they have done and used us for, all of that is being destroyed. As the Bible says clearly in Habakkuk, they'll be left penniless and helpless. Everything will be burned down. It'll be destroyed. And they will not have anything left for themselves. They will be brought to justice. Okay, so there's the one about the hail. And so all these plagues are happening to them. And so he says here, let's see, this is in chapter, let's see, this is 10. Let's see, make sure that I don't something. Yeah, this is Exodus 9. Okay, so now this is chapter 10, the plague of the locusts. The locusts come in and they snatch up every little crumb that's left. Anything that's left of any value, it gets destroyed by the locusts. And so then you see here, Moses said, all right, go and he's talking to Pharaoh, saying, let the people go. As I've said all these times before, he says, all right, go and worship the Lord. But who exactly will be going with you? Moses replied, we will go young and old, our sons and daughters, our flocks and herds. We must all join together in celebrating a festival to the Lord. Okay, so they still have their herds. They still have all these things because they are in the land of Goshen and everything is fine for them. It's very clear that the Lord is protecting them and that all the Egyptians are not under the protection of God at all. And so Pharaoh retorted, the Lord will certainly need to be with you if I let you take your little ones. I can see through your evil plan, because he thought at that point Moses was acting like they were going to come back. He's like, I see you're not coming back. Hello. You're smarty. All right. Never. Only the men may go and worship the Lord, since that is what you requested. And Pharaoh threw them, Moses and Aaron, out of the palace. And the Lord said to Moses, raise your hand over the land to bring on the locusts. Let them cover the land and devour every plant that survived the hailstorm. There you go. All right. So they're just getting pummeled in every which way. This is what is happening to the New World Order right now, this criminal cabal. And so he does not want to lose the workers, but he also does not want to lose the ability to do his set cult rituals. And this is why they're certainly not leaving without the children. Right? They've got to have, they would never, never, never leave children there. All right. So I wanted you to see all that. Here are all the plagues, the blood, the water turned to blood, all the frogs, the lice, the gnats, the flies, the pestilence, the boils, the hailstorm, the locusts, and then darkness is going to cover the land, except for the people in the land of Goshen. We have the light. We have the light of truth, and we have the light of the understanding in our homes. But they had complete darkness in Egypt. It talks about this in the book of Revelation. That it talks about that there will be one of the bowls that's poured out on them is darkness, where they can't communicate with each other. They can't see which way to go. They're in complete disarray, just like what we see right now in Iran. They are in complete chaos because they don't know what to do. They've lost their ability to communicate, and they don't know who to trust and all that. All right, and then it talks about here the firstborn. So we're going to get to that one in just a second. All right, so here is the next thing. Let's see, the darkness. The Lord said to Moses, lift your hand toward heaven, and the land of Egypt will be covered with darkness so thick you can feel it. Have you ever been in the darkness like that? I remember one time we went somewhere and it was so dark. I'm like, you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face. Moses lifted his hand to the sky. A deep darkness covered the entire land of Egypt for 3 days. For 3 days. During all that time, the people could not see each other and no one moved. Day and night, it was completely dark. You would think this would get their attention, wouldn't it? But this is exactly what we're seeing. These people are so hard set in their ways that they cannot repent. They cannot turn back, and they just don't know what to do. And really, like with what's going on in Iran, many of these people know that they are going to have to pay a very severe price. So they don't know what to do. And they really don't have anything to lose because they're like, well, we're going to die anyway. Pharaoh said, during that time, the people could not see each other. No one moved, but there was light as usual where the people of Israel lived. The land of Goshen had light. How amazing is that? That's pretty amazing that the Lord had that happen. Finally, Pharaoh called for Moses, and he said, go and worship the Lord, but leave your flocks and herds here. You can't even And but you may take your little ones. So he said, okay, take the children, but you've got to leave the flocks and the herds. So you see, he's finally making some concessions, right? And so Moses said, nope, you must provide us with animals and sacrifices for the burnt offerings to the Lord. We have to have the livestock. And of course, he knew that they were going to need this for milk, et cetera, when they were in the wilderness all these years. We don't know how we are to worship the Lord until we get there. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart once more after all he had seen, all he had witnessed, all he had been through. He still has a hard heart because he is filled with demons, just like this New World Order. And he would not let the people go. Get out of here, Pharaoh shouted at Moses. I'm warning you, never come back to see me again. The day you see my face, you will die. That kind of indicated what the next plague was going to be. We're finally at that precipice, at that end plague, that last plague. Just like with us, we're like, okay, when are we going to have this last final plague? When is it going to be finally over where we see the demise of our enemies, right? Okay, so now we're looking for what happened in Exodus chapter 11. Exodus chapter 11 is very, very similar to, reminds me of Revelation chapter 11. I don't think that's a coincidence. This is the chapter that talks about Passover and what was going to happen, and that we celebrate every year at this time, right at Easter, Resurrection Day. And of course, our Lord Jesus went to the cross at Passover. So Passover means the Lord passes over our sins. He knows that we have sinned, but he passes over our sins because our Lord Jesus is the sacrificial lamb who bears our penalty. We receive forgiveness, and the Egyptians, those who worship Satan, do not. It's all about faith. It's a huge gift from the Lord. It's all that we received is by grace through faith, right? So here's Exodus chapter 11. The Lord said to Moses, I will strike Pharaoh and the land of Egypt with one blow. After that, Pharaoh will let you leave this country. In fact, he will be so eager to get rid of you, he will force you all to leave. Tell all the Israelite men and women to ask their Egyptian neighbors for articles of silver and gold. What does that sound like? Exactly like what we've been talking about, that the wealth of the wicked is stored up for the righteous. All this wealth of silver and gold will come back to us, and they will be left penniless, just like we've talked about many, many times. Loot the silver, plunder the gold. They will pour this into our laps because they know otherwise they're dead men. This is what we're going to witness. This is a roadmap for us. Now, the Lord had caused the Egyptians to look favorably on the people of Israel, and Moses was considered a very great man in the land of Egypt, respected by Pharaoh's officials and the Egyptian people alike. Moses had announced to Pharaoh, this is what the Lord says at midnight. I will pass through the heart of Egypt. All the firstborn sons will die in every family of Egypt, from the oldest son of Pharaoh who sits on the throne to the oldest son of his lowliest servant girl who grinds the flour. So he knew this. Pharaoh knew this. But he refused to believe it and refused to accept it. And I doubt that people were told what was going to happen. I don't know. But I know one thing, all of God's people in the land of Goshen took the sacrificial lamb and they put the blood on the doorposts. And the angel of death saw the blood and the angel of death passed over that family. And they might have had many people in the family that were firstborn. Maybe the father was, the mother was, a child was, whoever it was, their sins were passed over, and they were not killed. But all the firstborn of Egypt were killed. Look at what it says here. Then even the firstborn of all the livestock will die. Then a loud wail will rise through the land of Egypt, a wail like no one has ever heard before or will ever hear again. But among the Israelites, it will be so peaceful that not even a dog will bark. This is the peace of God that we have because we know our sins are forgiven, that the blood of Christ covers our sins, that he has taken that penalty because he is the Lamb of God. But they don't have any of that. and they are having to bear their own penalty for their sins. You will know that the Lord makes a distinction between the Egyptians and the Israelites. The Egyptians and the Israelites, the righteous, the unrighteous and the righteous, the ones who have worshiped Satan versus the ones who worship the Lord. This is the distinction. And we're either in one camp or the other. All the Egyptians of Egypt will run to me and fall to the ground before me, saying, "Please leave," they will beg. "Hurry and take all your followers with you. Only then will I go." Then, burning with anger, Moses left Pharaoh. So they had known each other for a very, very long time. I imagine this was not their first impasse. And it was really Pharaoh versus Moses is evil versus righteous. That's really what it boils down to. And so that's, you know, our wonderful President Trump, I believe, is our Moses to lead us out of this evil. He's tough as nails, and he is going to get us out of this situation where these evildoers are running the world. It's a sight to behold. We are so blessed to live in this day, to live here and watch what is happening. So Moses leaves Pharaoh in a huff, in anger. And so then he's telling the people how we're going to do this Passover. That very night, they were going to leave Egypt. That night, this is kind of what is going to happen for us. This, that after all that we've been through, and plague upon plague upon plague that we have endured all these years, and now we're going to see that in a moment, we're going to be set free. And we're going to get out of here. We're going to have all the silver and all the gold, and we will be on our way to the golden age, the promised land. And so they're going to celebrate, they're going to commemorate this Passover. So I'm going to show you in Exodus chapter 12, this first Passover. So they take the blood of the lamb or the goat, they put it on the door, they sacrifice that animal to the Lord. And then if you look a little farther down, I'm not going to go into all the detail because I went into a good bit of detail about how to do Passover right here on this Passover prep video. So definitely check into that one over on my Rumble and on my X account. Not X, on Rumble and YouTube. All right, so it says here in Exodus chapter 12, it says you're supposed to stand eating and carrying your walking stick. Like, we're leaving. We're not sitting down. We're not relaxing. This is where we're wearing our sandals, we're getting ready to go, and we're packed, and we're moving on. This is the Lord's Passover, and the Lord will pass through the land of Egypt and strike down every firstborn son and firstborn male animal in the land of Egypt. I'll execute judgment against the gods of Egypt, for I am the Lord. This is what we are witnessing to. The Lord is delivering us from them, and he is punishing them. He is bringing down judgment on these demon worshipers and on these demons. But the blood on your doorpost will serve as a sign marking your houses where you are staying. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. That is the passage, Exodus chapter 12, verse 13. The plague of death will not touch you when I strike the land of Egypt. So we will commemorate this as a perpetual festival from generation to generation. Celebrate it as a special festival to the Lord. This is a law for all time. Hello. All time, perpetually. That's what perpetually means. For 7 days of the bread you eat must be made without yeast. It's a reminder of how the Lord rescued us, and we had no time to have the bread rise like usual because we are moving on. We are out of here. So I really do think that this is a big moment for us in this day, is when we see this Passover happening starting on April Fool's Day, April 1, which commemorates the day that the stupid Egyptians, fools that they were, they chased God's people after all they had seen. Anyway, on the first day of the festival, remove every trace of yeast from your homes. Again, we're removing the yeast, which represents sin, that we remove any pride from our lives. And then it says, scrolling down a little bit farther, it talks about not having any yeast, and also that you take the hyssop branches, you dip it in the blood, you brush the hyssop across the tops, top and the sides and the door frames of your house. No one may go through the door until the morning, for the Lord will pass through the land to strike down the Egyptians. But when he sees the blood on the top and sides of the door frame, the Lord will pass over your home. He will not permit his death angel to enter your house and strike you down. He will, your sins are forgiven. All right. So that is the chapter. And you can read more about that. And you can watch the video where I talk more about how to celebrate the Passover. Okay, so we're seeing that we've completed 10 plagues, just like very similar to what we have experienced over these past several years since really the sign of the Son of Man, September 23rd, 2017. If you're not familiar with that, please go look at that on my melissaredpill.com page, because it's a huge, huge important sign that the Lord gave us. It was the kickoff to the Great Awakening and the Battle of Armageddon. But here are the plagues that they experienced: the blood, the water turning to blood, the frogs, the lice, the gnats, the flies, the pestilence, the boils, the hailstorm, the locusts, the darkness, and then the firstborn. This, that they would be, they'd be slaughtered for anyone who did not have the blood to cause the angel of death to pass over. So, you know, what have we experienced? In a very similar way, we've experienced the COVID, the vaccine injuries, all these wars, all the fake news, all the protests. I mean, there's just the overtaking of our countries. I mean, it's just been on and on and on. You'd think we'd get finished with one plague and then there's another one. And it's, as God's word says, it's through great suffering and tribulation that we inherit the kingdom. Much like when you're giving birth, for those men who haven't experienced this, it is really hard. And when you're getting close, it gets harder and harder. And you think, I can't do this anymore. When you get to the point where you're like, I can't do this anymore, you know you're very, very close to the crowning stage when the baby will be born. So this is what we've been up against. But I wanted you to see how similar this it talks about the. I think this is in the book of Revelation, chapter 11, when it says, at that same time, there was a terrible earthquake that destroyed a tenth of the city. 7,000 people died in that earthquake, and everyone else was terrified and gave glory to the God of heaven. If you remember, I was saying in Exodus, chapter 11, about the firstborn being killed. Is that similar to this right here, where these evildoers will, 7,000 will die? I don't know if that's symbolic or if that's talking about some, like maybe the prosecutions, or if that's talking about them literally dropping dead. I don't know. We're going to find out. We're here and there's no stopping this train from going down these tracks. So it just seems very odd to me that it talks about this earthquake. If we had 7,000 people of the cabal drop dead, that would definitely be an earthquake. That would wake up a lot of people. There, you know, if even one person dies, everybody's like, wait, wow, this is a huge moment. If there were 7,000, that might be a symbolic number, but it just leads you to believe there's going to be some type of judgment that falls on these evildoers. I would not be surprised. And it's very, very similar to that last plague of the firstborn dying. I'm sure the people did not really expect that to happen. But when it did, they said, take the silver, take the gold, and please go. Just get, please, 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 because they knew the Lord was with them and that if anything more happened, they would all be dead. It was at that point. All right, I want you to see that very similar passage where it's talking about that in Revelation chapter 11. Now, that is just after one of our favorite passages where it talks about Revelation 11:11. But after 3.5 days, God breathed life into them and they stood up. That's the awakening passage that is the reason many of you see 11:11, because God breathed life into us, awakened us, and we stood up. And it says terror struck all who were staring at them because they are flipping out because they realize that we are awake and we're not stopping until these people are brought to judgment one way or the other. And that's why they are filled with terror, and that they realize that this they can't stop this movement, and that the day that they have feared is upon them. A loud voice from heaven called to the two prophets, "Come up here," and they rose to heaven in a cloud as their enemies watched. Some have said, "Oh, well, this means that they escaped to heaven." No, it's about coming into power. Clouds is always representing power, coming into a position of authority. And so many of us have had new authority because we were able to get truth out through social media like we never could before. And there are others who've been raised into these positions like Rubio and J.D. Vance and, of course, our wonderful President Trump, you know, who are working hard to get the truth out and to fight the bad guys. And the bad guys cannot stop President Trump from being in this position of authority where he can use the might of the U.S. military to destroy them. Their worst fears have come upon them. They can't stop what is coming. The people of Egypt had said to leave. They're leaving. And then 2 seconds later, they changed their mind. And of course, they wonder who in the world is going to do all this work. They want the slaves to come back and do all the work. We know these people are so accustomed to us being their slaves, they just can't stand the thought of us getting away and not being their slaves. And why is that? It's because literally demons dwell within them, and they're under an oath to satisfy these demons, to harm us and to destroy humanity. Just there's no other way to say it than that's the truth about it. So the people of God, as they are winding through this pass to get to the Red Sea, their back is against the Red Sea, and the Egyptians are chasing them. And what are they to do? Well, that was their precipice moment. What are they going to do? Well, the Lord had a cloud, a giant pillar, like a column that appeared and stopped them from approaching his people. The Lord protected them, God's people, from the Egyptian army that was trying to come and take them back to Egypt. The Lord protected them. And again, they should say, you know what? We need to stop. We need to not be foolish. Well, they were April Fools. They were the fools. And that's what April Fools is all about, is to commemorate that these people were so foolish and would not stop and kept trying to destroy God's people, just like the New World Order won't stop and continues to try to destroy humanity to this very day. Here it is, it was late March 2026, and they are still trying to destroy humanity. All right, so the Lord opens the Red Sea, and God's people walk through on dry ground. Absolutely amazing, miraculous. Of course, it looks daunting, but what else are you going to do? The Egyptian army is right behind you. You've got to go through. And this is much like what we will probably soon experience, something that will be a little bit scary. And it's like, we have to go through this. There's no other option than for us to move forward and to get to the other side and for all of humanity to enter into the promised land. But these people are clearly not stopped to date, and I don't think they will stop until they recovered over, like the fools of the Egyptians who recovered over in the Red Sea. So just be prepared for that. That's likely what's going to happen. So these Egyptian soldiers chased them through into the Red Sea. Well, the waters came crashing over them. Even to this day, there are chariot wheels in the bottom of the Red Sea. They have seen, there are videos on YouTube, I didn't pull them up, but you can see them. Yeah, they are there to show that, yes, these people were fools, and they went into the Red Sea to chase after God's people. But the Lord rescued them with a mighty rescue. This may be the passage where it's talking about in Revelation 11, where there's a great earthquake and 7,000 died. We don't know. I don't know if this is symbolic or if this is what we're going to physically see with our eyes, if it's going to be some of these prosecutions or something even more dramatic. We'll watch and see. But that was the end of the enemies of the Lord, and then they went into promised land. How awesome is that? So if you haven't seen these videos, definitely go and check those out over on my Rumble and on my YouTube, The Passover Prep, because it's a beautiful thing to commemorate. It really, really is. If you want to know more about what happened in more detail, go to this book, End Times, This is Biblical. I have 17 Bible stories, and two of which are about Moses. One is this one here, the Red Wave, and that talks about them literally walking across the Red Sea on dry ground, and also the one where it says the law and order, what happened once they crossed over into the promised land, into the wilderness, and how they had law and order. So it's really exactly like what we are witnessing, where everything is being set right, but not just for a small group of people in the Middle East, but now for the entire world, all of humanity. And that's what it had to be. It had to get to be a blessing for the entire world. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea. So definitely check into that. I think you'll enjoy it. And also, if you go onto my site, Melissa Red Pill, you can actually listen to the audiobook. And it's also on Audible if you want to check that one out. This one is about the golden age, about all the wonderful things that we are going to experience. I just completed the audiobook. It is finally up on my website, melissaredpill.com, and it will soon be approved, hopefully, on Audible. So check out that if you'd like to listen to it. There's so many wonderful things that are going to happen in the Golden Age. It's hard for us to even imagine it. It hasn't even entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those who love him. This is what God's word says. But the Golden Age of peace, the Golden Age of truth, the Golden Age of justice, the Golden Age of health, the Golden Age of safety, the Golden Age of unity, the Golden Age of beauty, the Golden Age of freedom, the Golden Age of Christ as King. There's more. There's like 17, and it's all throughout God's Word. And I had never really seen it before because my thoughts were not seated on having His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But now it is, and you're going to love it. It's such good news. And like I said, I now have the audiobook ready to go. If you want to go and check that out, it's over on my website, melissaredpill.com, and you can see the audiobook right here, The Golden Age, and you can check that out. I think you'll really, really enjoy it and lay hold of all those promises. Let me see if there's anything else. I think that's everything. Definitely check into all of our social media. It's right here. Definitely follow us and share like your hair's on fire, all of the truth that we put out there all the day long, every day. And so it's really important that we fulfill our role, which is to help to get this truth out. There's so much fake news out there. And here's, like I said, here's where the audiobooks are. If you're new to this information about end times, definitely check into this link right here, because it'll really help you to see how we were misled on purpose, because they didn't want us to at all think about that His kingdom would come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven, even though we've prayed that all of our lives. And also definitely check into this health page right here. There's so many things that you need to do for your health to make sure that you're taking care of your body, because they have really done a number on us. We've got a detox. There's several different ways you can detox, and they're all so good in a variety of ways. Here's a wonderful antibiotic. There's a natural antibiotic that does not mess with your gut flora, which is hugely important. Gut flora is hugely important. If you're not familiar with that, definitely go and watch videos on all these things that will help you to know how to protect your most important thing that you have, which is your microbiome. And you may not even know you've got one. So anyway, but you do. And it's important that you know how to protect it. All right. So all these things, definitely check out all the resources that I have for you over here to help protect your health. And I think that's it. Let's pray. Again, thank you, Lord. We praise you and we thank you that this is the day that we will see the end of our enemies. Lord, I thank you that even though this precipice is coming, we know that we will get to the other side of the Red Sea and our enemies will be gone, and we will enter into days that we can hardly even imagine. And thank you for this promise all throughout your word. Thank you for Passover, that you've passed over our sins, and that all these things that we're seeing are happening before our very eyes, the very things that you have laid out in your word for us, and that all these plagues that we've endured have been to awaken us and to set us free. It's through much tribulation that we inherit the kingdom. Thank you, Lord, that you promised that we will inherit your kingdom, prepared for us from before the foundation of the world. Thank you, Lord, that we are the blessed who will enter into your kingdom. Come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I pray your blessings on everyone who's here, that you'll continue to be with them and strengthen them, strengthen their bodies and their minds, and use them in a mighty way to bring in your kingdom. We pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. I love you guys. I'm so glad that we're here together. Don't listen to fake news, okay? Listen to Melly, and we're going to do this together, right, you guys? So definitely, I will see you tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Central Time, on Rumble, and on YouTube. I will talk to you later.
The nations, he will rule them with an iron rod. He will release the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a wine press. On his robe at his thigh was written this title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.